The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome you back. Really delighted to say hello to our next guest, Joe Pazansky, who is just a incredibly great sports writer. He's written a number of books in the past, one on Joe Paterno. But his latest involves baseball as we get ready for the big game tonight. The name of the book, The Baseball 100. I was reading a review of it over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal, and it was just incredible, the review and so many others. Joe, congratulations. I know it's always great when people say good things about the book. I'm sure you've encountered both. I know you have. It's great to see you again, first of all. How are you? And I can't wait to hear about this project.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, it's great to see you. It's been a little while. We've missed each other. We're not that far apart right now, and yet we are because of the pandemic. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that review in the Wall Street Journal. That was something else. It's certainly nice to have people saying nice things about your book. I got to tell you, the book came out a week ago today, and I've just been overwhelmed. Absolutely overwhelmed. I mean, it's the reviews have been incredible. It's on bestseller lists. It's a 900-page baseball book. This was not what I was expecting, but it's been absolutely great.
Yeah, and the great part about the book, after you read it, and it's fantastic conversation about baseball, you can always just keep it near your bed in case some small animal gets in the house. So
it's so many uses, Paul. So many uses. I had a friend who sent me a note saying that it came in the mail in a box, and his wife thought it was the refrigerator that they'd ordered. And so, I mean, it is big. It is 900 pages, almost 300,000 words, 100 players. I mean, it is, you know, that's what you get when you're trying to sort of, if you can, tell the full story of baseball in one book about the 100 greatest players. So, I love it. It really has been fun.
These are debates that go on forever, and documentaries on the greatest, countless books, generational books. But as somebody who's covered the game a long time, but clearly didn't see some of the legendary figures, how do you go about tackling such a project?
It's a good question. For me, this thing started with the statistics, right? So I had a friend of mine, and whose name is Tom Tango, who actually invented wins above replacement, which I'm sure a few of your listeners and viewers have heard of. And I wanted to just start. Let's start with a statistical thing where we compare people with the players of their time. We try to look at well-roundedness. We try to look at players who had very high peaks. That was really important to me. And let's put together a list. And we did it statistically. And there was a list, and it was a good one. And I liked it. And then it was a matter of adding and subtracting and moving people around and doing all kinds of things. And people who have gotten this book will know this book has players in there that there are very few stats. There are very few stats for. There are several Negro Leagues players in here. There's a Japanese player in here. I considered players from Cuba and Puerto Rico and from the times before they played in the major leagues. So it was really a mishmash of a lot of different things. But I think it came down to a lot of sort of gut feelings, experiences that I've had talking with people. And then at some point you just put it down and know people are going to hate your call, right? I mean, that's the great thing about this kind of list. My 100 is not going to be the same as anybody else's, and it's not going to be in the same order as anybody else's. So let's have some fun and argue about it.
And there's perceptions out there, and they're pretty cemented by now. We're talking about Babe Ruth and DiMaggio. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. I mean, these are just names that if you're just walking down the street, who's the best baseball player, you're going to hear one of these names. But I was really intrigued, and we'll start with number one, because if we went 100-1, we'd be on until the end of the game tonight. But your number one is Willie Mays, and I spent 30-some-odd years not far from where he grew up. In fact, driving to the Birmingham airport the other day, I was with a group of guys, and as we were going past Fairfield and Bessemer and these parts of Alabama, I said, right over here, this exit, you'll find two of the greatest baseball players, one that really never made it that big, and the other one who is considered among the best. And I was talking about Bo Jackson and Willie Mays, and everybody in the car just perked up. Because Bo could have perhaps, and I know you covered him in your career, he may have been headed for that list if he had only stuck to baseball. But let's center on Willie Mays, because you could get an argument, but not much of one.
Well, you'll get the Babe Ruth argument, which is very fair. I mean, there are a lot of people who think Babe Ruth should be number one. Babe Ruth has been number one for so long, obviously great. Dominant hitter, maybe the most dominant hitter compared to his time as anybody. And then obviously was a pitcher before then. So that's a very difficult argument to go against. For me, with Willie Mays, the way I looked at it is this. I mentioned it before. I really wanted well-rounded players. I just felt like that was something important to me as I was looking through this. And with Willie Mays, I think you have the greatest defensive center fielder ever. One of the greatest arms ever, one of the greatest base runners ever, one of the greatest hitters ever, one of the greatest home run hitters ever. He was absolutely everything, and he did it with this level of joy that came through with every single thing he did. And so for me, he's number one. And you know, that's how I viewed it. I love that you brought up, going through and seeing, right there in Alabama, seeing, where Bo Jackson and Willie Mays are from. Because not that far, you go to Mobile and you've got Henry Aaron and Billy Williams. And I mean, it's the baseball that has come out of Alabama is so stunning. And I just want to say this is not related directly to the book. I really hope that they play a Major League Baseball game in Alabama as soon as next year. It was something I thought a lot about when I was there at the Field of Dreams game a few weeks ago now. And I just thought there's a Negro League stadium there in Birmingham. Major League Baseball has to come and play a game there and make a big deal out of it and televise it. I mean, so much of baseball has come out of that state.
It's so true. And mentioning, Hank Aaron, and his legacy from one end of the state to the other. So let's talk about it. So you have Babe Ruth number two, and I think I know where we're going next. So finish out the top five for us.
Well, I'll actually start at five and go down because it's number three that everybody's going to get mad about. So number five is Oscar Charleston, who is was an incredible Negro Leagues player, one that maybe like casual fans will not know anything or very little about, but was Willie Mays of the Negro Leagues, did absolutely everything. My friend Buck O'Neill used to say he was a guy who could hit 50 home runs and steal 100 bases. I mean, he was that kind of power speed thing, and I loved writing about him. Number four is Henry Aaron, who we can talk about forever. And then there's number three. So here's I want to tell you this, Paul. I wrote this essay about Henry Aaron. You know, this essay, versions of this began on The Athletic when I was working for The Athletic. And I wrote the Henry Aaron essay. And that very night over dinner, I get a call and I get it. It's from Bud Selig. It's the former commissioner of baseball. And he was calling very nice just to rave about the Henry Aaron essay and how much it meant to him. He was obviously very close to Mr. Aaron and just went on and on about what a wonderful essay it was, which made me feel really, really good. And at the end he goes, well, so he's number four. Who is number three? And I said, well, I'm not really supposed to tell you. It's not out yet. but number three is Barry Bonds. And he did not say a single nice word.
Oh my goodness.
That was the end of the good cheer from the commissioner, which I understand, and I know that putting him at number three is controversial for all the reasons that we know. But I'll tell you what, my lifetime, he's the greatest hitter I've ever seen. And that was true before he bulked up, when he was just an extraordinary, you know, three-time MVP for the Pirates and Giants. And then, obviously, after he bulked up, he broke the game. I mean, he was so good that nobody, I mean, he was intentionally walked 120 times in a season. Nobody even wanted to pitch to him. So it's controversial, but Barry Bonds is my number three.
That is amazing. So back to the Saturday, we're driving past Fairfield, and I was telling these guys in the car the story many, many years ago, Joe. As you know, there was, you know, it was so different. You'd mentioned Buck. I was interviewing about four guys who played on the, it was called the Birmingham Black Barons. That was part of that era. And they were talking about Willie Mays playing on their Industrial League team in Fairfield when he was 14 or 15. And I was just in awe asking them about his greatness. And they said, yeah, he was great. And I just knew something big was coming. He said, but they were better players. And I'm like, going, hold on a second, which plays to your book. I said, who was better than Willie Mays? He said, Cat Mays. I said, who was Cat Mays? He said, that was Willie's dad. I said, so you're telling me Willie Mays' dad was better than Willie? He said, yes. So, which brings me to your question, and you've honored several in this book. How great were these players that nobody's ever heard of?
It's so incredible, and I'll tell you the best way that I've come across trying to explain it. You know, I was actually in the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City, which if you happen to be in Kansas City at any point, please go. You'll thank me. It's such a wonderful experience. And I was there with Willie Mays, and he was looking out on the field, and, you know, there's Oscar Charleston in center field and Coop Papa Bell. And these guys were his heroes, you know? I mean, these guys were, you know, because his father was playing as well. So he knew these players and saw them playing growing up, and he heard again and again and again, you know, you're good, but you're no Oscar Charleston, you're no Cat Mays, you know, that's what he grew up hearing. The best way that I can describe it is this, and I try to tell people this. From 1947 to 1955, so 47 is when Jackie Robinson crossed the, you know, broke the color barrier. From 1947 to 1955, 56 or so, the first African-American players included Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, Larry Doby, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Frank Robinson, Roberto Clemente, you know, Minnie Minoso, Don Newcomb, on and on and on and on. Hall of Famers, MVPs, Cy Youngs. It was the greatest influx of talent in the history of Major League Baseball. And all you have to do is just reverse engineer that and go back 10 years, and you know that there were that many great players in the Negro Leagues. And 10 years before that, 10 years before that, some of the greatest players in the history of the game, Bob Gibson, you know, come out just as, you know, the door opens, finally. And then you know that 10 years before, those were players that never got the chance. And, you know, you try to honor some of them. I write at the beginning of the book that my concern, my fear is not that I put too many Negro Leaguers in here, but too few. And you know, there are so many other great players that we've just overlooked, frankly.
The Baseball 100. Joe, it's so great to have you on, and thank you for coming on and sharing what I know everyone will thoroughly enjoy and debate, which is really what baseball is known for. Be well. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Oh, wow. What a great conversation, Joe Pazinski, the Baseball 100. We'll get back to the Football 100 in just a moment at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Catherine is up next in Florida. Hello, Catherine. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Paul. Well, this Gator fan is so frustrated already, and we're not even halfway through the season. I'm thinking last year was a lot more fun, even with four losses, if you can believe that. And we probably would have done better in the bowl game if we'd had Pitts and Tony, but they elected to defect to the NFL. But my question is, I don't understand, Coach Mullins, is he playing the role of coordinator and head coach?
Yes.
And I don't know, that's awfully hard and confusing to me. Because what I'm seeing, he's looking more down at the sheet of paper, and I don't even know what's on that sheet, instead of maybe looking out what's going on in the field. And I'm just a little bit confused about that.
Well, it's not unusual. It happens a lot of places. Spurrier called the plays. Others have done it. To me, I think it's better when you don't, because it makes it more difficult to keep up with every aspect of the game. But I mean, that's what he does well. I mean, you know what his reputation is. Now, ultimately, Dan Mullen has to figure out a couple of things, though. He's got really good players in there, Catherine, but he needs better players to compete with Georgia and Alabama. It's really that simple. And, you know, his recruiting has always been mildly suspect. And you have to ask the question, why is that? And you know, I think you heard it from Cassidy Hill yesterday that he has difficulty with losing. Well, who doesn't? But that is where you are defined by how you handle situations in both good and bad. I won't quote the Bible here, but you can figure it out for yourself. You know what I'm talking about. And that's always been something about him that can be annoying. Is that he is a really bad loser, and that reflects on you. And you know, I'm not going to get deep into what others say about him, where he used to work. Nothing about Dan Mullen is hard to figure out. With the good, you get the bad. But you know, he loses about as poorly as anybody I've ever seen.
Do you think maybe he's going to wake up and understand that? I mean, when I heard him talk earlier this season, it sounded like, you know, he just sort of tuned out people. He said, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
I think that's who he is. And, yeah, I always like to say he's a cross between his mentor, Urban Meyer, and Steve Spurrier. But, you know, what we saw this week was a lot more Urban Meyer than Steve Spurrier.
Right. Well, when I saw him walking up and down the sidelines, you know, I mean, I'm watching Urban Meyers when he's coaching now with the Jags, and basically that's all he's doing, and, you know, the expressions and things that you see on his face. But
one thing about Steve Spurrier, you know, he didn't lose often, but when he did, he was smart enough to know where, you know, at least initially where to give credit and where to take the blame. And that's something that the great coaches do, is they never make it petty. And when he answered that question by rattling off how many yards he gained, he lost a lot of people by saying that, because I understand the statistics do matter, and if you're a coach, you look at that because it is an indicator, but it's not always going to tell you who won the game. It usually is, but in this case it didn't, and you know, the 15 penalties were the story of the game.
Right, well, eight of them from offsides, and I don't know how you correct that. Has to be a way. But I do want to say I do like Emory Jones. I think he's doing his best, you know, and I just don't want to have people, belittle him, because I think he's trying his best. So, well, anyway, Paul, thank you. And I want to tell you, I love your Friday shows. It's so exciting to see you on campus.
Well, I think I've said this before, but that was, I mean, last football season was difficult for all of us, but that was the biggest thing that that I noticed. And sometimes you don't appreciate something when you do it all the time. But that I forgot how much fun that was, and really what a celebration of the weekend and where we are. So thank you so much for saying that. That is really nice. Pat is in Georgia, and you are next up. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I did something today I haven't done in a long time, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I went to a Rotary Club for lunch today.
Oh, great.
I had a nice meal, and the district governor had a good program. I called to talk to you about that knucklehead yesterday. Is it Brandon Marsalis? I want to get his name.
Brandon Marcello.
Brandon Marcello, that knucklehead yesterday. Yes, sir. In his opinion, Georgia can't be rated number one until JT Daniels is 100% and starting. Now, am I putting words in his mouth? Is that what he said?
I think that's what he said.
All right. Well, do you reckon he watched either the Alabama game or the Georgia game where when you play three down linemen, we're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to run it until you stop us? So you really don't need a pro arm until they stop you. And is Stetson Bennett chopped liver?
No, but to me, Pat, what makes Georgia so dangerous is that they have not gotten much out of JT Daniels this year, and he was originally going to be a Heisman favorite. And, you know, if he can get healthy, what does that do? And what we're talking about there is a handful of games. I would include Saturday in that group because I don't need to tell you how important it is playing Auburn and Florida and, you know, Kentucky next week and ultimately Alabama. Those are games that it would be nice to have JT Daniel. But I think Georgia has shown it can win without him.
Absolutely. And you talk about the Auburn game this weekend. Our daughter and our two grandsons, they're going over to the Auburn this Saturday, and it's a 3:30 game, and that's the best time to play Auburn, in my opinion. And I think Georgia's going to take care of Auburn. Bo Nix may show up, he may not, but it's the They've been to about a dozen football games in Athens, so they know what big time football looks like. They are really in for a treat. They'll walk across the campus. They'll go through all the catering, tailgating. They get inside. That's a beautiful stadium.
Pat, you're right. I will say in my years covering Alabama and Auburn football in Birmingham. Clearly, the Iron Bowl was standalone, but if there was a second game, and I know some will cringe because I'm not talking about the great third Saturday in October. My second favorite game was always Auburn, Georgia. There was something majestic about it. I think it had to do with the fact that where it was in the season, it usually came 2 weeks before the end, the Alabama game, and oftentimes in the past, Alabama and Auburn would have a bye week. So it just set the stage, and I think the thing that really what I loved in a lot of the early years I covered Auburn, Pat Dye was the Auburn coach and Vince Dooley was the Georgia coach, and you know where I'm going here. Vince played at
Absolutely.
Auburn and Pat played at Georgia. It was just and there were so many other people connected to that game from working at Auburn that from Georgia. It was just so special, and I hated it when they moved it to wherever it is right now, second Saturday in October. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, we welcome all of you back. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Dutch is in Massachusetts. Hello, Dutch.
Yes, this is College Football Siberia, as you know.
True.
And I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
There's only, I think, only two Division I teams in all of New England, and nobody cares about them, including people up here. It's a big pro football place, as you know.
Absolutely.
So I'd really count on this until I get back to Georgia. And I just wanted to thank you for serving this person in college football Mongolia.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you saying that, and stay in touch, Dutch. You be well. Let's continue with more calls. Jennifer is calling next. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just want to state my opinion in all honesty. You're probably going to get all the gates flooded, if you understand what I'm saying. The gates of hell flooded. When I get done with my conversation, first of all, I'm an Alabama fan, Roll Tide. All these people want to call the show, complain. And the problem is they're upset because they're losing. But we always coming up, we may not bring our 100 at all times, but we always come out on top. But anyway, I just wanted to state my opinion about all these people calling and complaining. And whose fault is it other than their own team's fault?
That's a fair point. Hey, thank you for the call, Jennifer. Cat Daddy is next.
Big Bone, glad to talk to you. You're looking good, sounding good. Look at here, I got a prediction for you. South Carolina, although they may have looked pretty poor there against Troy, they are going to beat your Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, my goodness. Don't tell me that.
Yes, sir. And one other prediction. Can you get the Legend and Urban Myers together? Maybe they go out and scrounge up some baby dogs.
I don't, right now, I don't think anyone wants to get together with Urban Meyer other than maybe some lap dancers.
Mr. Feinbaum, you make my day. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. And God bless America. We're coming back. We're going to be bigger and stronger than ever before because we are Americans. Ain't nobody going to stop Americans. God bless you, Big Paul. And love on that wife of yours for me.
Thank you very much. Gary is up next in Ohio. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I'm a huge Buckeye fan, bleed scarlet and gray. I'm going to say two things before I get into why I called. Number one, you've always been extremely, and I mean extremely fair and gracious toward your respect for Ohio State and particularly the Big Ten. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Number two, congratulations, because you're going into the College Football Hall of Fame one day if you're not already there. There's going to be a bust of that bald head right there in the College Football Hall of Fame, and it deserves to be. Now, the reason I called is rivalry. You cannot possibly believe Alabama and Auburn is the greatest college football rivalry. They didn't play for 40 years. That's 10 presidential election cycles. That's two generations of families, okay? So.
Yeah, you say that it's 10 presidential, but I think during that period, one guy was elected four times.
Well, okay. Congratulations. Little loophole there, but so it was still 40 years.
Okay.
40 years.
Well, so you're going to tell me the greatest rivalry is Michigan-Ohio State, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I've had this conversation before, and I think it is a great rivalry. But I will you know, grant you that the rivalry may have missed a few years, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about historically. We're talking about what it means today. And if you go back to, I believe it's 2009, the Alabama-Auburn game has had a direct impact on the national championship or the college football playoff every single one of those years. I mean, don't forget, Auburn played for the title two different times during that stretch. Alabama has been in contention every year but one since then, and that was 2 years ago. So I think it's a more significant game. I can't tell you I'm as in tune or attuned to the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry as I am the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, but I think what separates the two is you have bordering states up there, and I realize Toledo is claimed by both, but in the state of Alabama, it splits the state, not to the degree that it once did. I will grant you that, because Saban has changed the calculus, but it still affects people in ways that I don't think the Michigan-Ohio State game does. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, the fact that Jim Harbaugh has a job is my final argument. That would not stand in Alabama. You can't lose the game every year in Alabama and continue to be the coach. Hey, thanks for the call. Heading to a break. We are coming back. Many more guests to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. Great to have all of you with us. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Chris is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thanks.
Well, you know, Paul, I've been seeing on Twitter the past few days, ever since that Auburn-LSU game, Auburn fans are getting a little too comfortable, a little too overconfident. They've literally beaten Akron, Alabama State, struggle with Georgia State, and beat a terrible LSU team, and they still have, I mean, they've played the worst teams on their schedule. You know what I'm saying? And then they're talking about Bo Nix hasn't thrown an interception. He's just threw his first touchdown since the Alabama State game this past week. Bo Nix still sucks with a less than 60% completion percentage.
Yeah, listen, this is a big week for them. They have a home game against one of the best two teams in the country. I applaud them for winning in Tiger Stadium. But right now, there are a lot of teams we don't know very much about. And LSU and Auburn, I think, are two of them.
Right. I mean, LSU hasn't showed anybody anything. And, I mean, they get beat by UCLA, who's struggled ever since that game. And then, I mean, it was a respectable game against Penn State, but, I mean, what's Penn State done besides beat Wisconsin and Auburn? And Wisconsin showed they're not what anybody thought they were either.
No, Wisconsin is not a good barometer. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay. Go right ahead.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
This is Jay. I'm a longtime Georgia fan, 60 years old. This year, I think our team's a little better than Alabama. And what I wanted to ask you was if Alabama and Georgia were playing next week. Georgia was a 4.5-point favorite. Who'd you bet on?
Well, I don't know what the line. First of all, you can't line the game right now. I mean, you can line the game right now, but
well, I'm just doing it as a trying to get your opinion.
I can't answer that. I'm not being evasive because there's too many variables right now to gauge a game. The first weekend in December. I want to know the injury situation.
Exactly. Me too. And you know, if JT Daniels was quarterbacking and nobody else got hurt on either team, who would you bet on?
I don't bet, so I don't think I would participate. Greg, who would you bet on if you bet on Alabama and Georgia?
Hello, are you there?
I am here. Yes.
Sorry, man, I was in there marinating Rambo trout, getting ready to throw on the grill.
Okay, hold on. How do you marinate a rainbow trout?
Well, I use the honey teriyaki sauce and some lemon and pepper.
Somehow that sounds really good.
It is. It's really good. And you put that stuff on the grill, singe it about 5 minutes at the most, and, buddy, it falls off the bone.
Mm. I'm hungry already.
Well, you need to do it. Next time you in Athens, let me know.
I will do that. You can count on me knocking on your door.
Well, I promise you, I will have it. I've taken Coach out many times. You know me and old Coach, good buddies. But I wanted to commend you earlier with the phone calls that you had early. You held yourself with a prime example of class. I mean, for you to have to listen to what you listen to, I think, from Jim, I mean, I couldn't understand a word he said. I think his dentures kept falling out. I ain't for sure.
One thing with Jim, I've tried to engage him, but it's not easy.
You're wasting your time. You might as well just say, listen, leave me a recorder and I'll call you back.
Yeah, because... Yeah, Jim, you know, what's the old saying? We learned it when we were young, probably as kids. You know, you can dish it, but you can't take it. I mean, he can't take it.
He sure can't take it. I mean, and me being a Georgia fan since 1968, I've been through the bad, I've been through the good. Yeah, and then they always talk about we ain't won a championship in 40 years. Nobody has beat Nick Saban far as the past coaches that worked under him. And I'm going to put this in stone, and I want everybody to hear this. Kirby Smart will be the first coach to beat Nick Saban. I firmly believe that. I think we're on the right track now. Our defense is just something that I've never seen. I mean, that goes back to Irk Russell. This is a defense I've never even seen ever in my life. And, you know, with that being said, I just, where's all them Arkansas fans that called you all last week? I hadn't heard a word from them.
Woo Pig.
Yeah, remember Woo Pig. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't hear a lot of Woo Pigging going on right now. Thanks for the call. Gene is up next. How are you, Gene?
I'm doing good, Paul. I watch your show every day. I'm retired now.
Well, thank you.
I'm 69. Yeah, I'm 69 years old and just had cataract surgery. But, you know, people shouldn't complain about their teams losing. I've been a Tennessee fan all my life. I'm from Jonesboro area in Tennessee, oldest town, and I love it up here. I'm proud of the Vols this year, just the way they played. They're shorthanded and beat up and banged up, but I think they played Florida a real good game. Kind of got away from them in the fourth quarter, but I'm happy. I'm really happy with it.
Gene, when did you have cataract surgery?
A week ago today.
Well, I've had that, so you should be on the road to recovery right now, I hope.
Yes, I've still got one more to go.
Oh, okay.
But I can see out of one eye anyway.
Yeah, no, I've had one, and I need the other pretty badly, but I'm putting it off until they give me a choice of a seeing eye dog or the surgery.
Yeah, well, if that don't happen, you can use the Braille system.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the dog. It's just a better look.
Okay. But anyway, I'm happy my Tennessee Vols. They're playing good, playing the best you can with what they got. People need to understand that. Don't criticize your team. Pull for them. Stand by them. And I just got one other thing to say, and I'm not trying to be rude or hateful, but Cat Daddy needs to get his crying towel out because Tennessee's going to beat South Carolina this week.
I agree with you on that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We will take a break. Matt Stinchcomb in the next hour. Look forward to chatting with him. We are coming right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.